CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, discussing the news of the Australian-UK-US alliance. And at this point, it is not easy for me to imagine what this means for the Quad, India, Australia, Japan, and the U.S. India first, Gregory. Is this an advantage to India that it no longer has the pressure of fielding a navy, or are there other considerations that now come into play, given that, as you have identified, the U.S. and Australia and Britain are now going to be able to project power into the Indian Ocean basin itself?
The Australians and the U.S., and for that matter, the British, have been able to project that power into the Indian Ocean for some time. But the Indian naval buildup has been such that it was getting disproportionately large in that region and was able to exert dominance over the Indian Ocean and therefore over Indonesia, Australia and the like. So this does counterbalance that to a degree. India is not going to in any way reduce its maritime forces build up. That will continue. Mind you, the Indian Navy has been, if you like, the poor cousin in the defense forces there. And despite the fact that it's just getting its newest carrier, aircraft carrier, into service, it's still not getting enough into its fleet capability. But it is very much there, ready to tackle the People's Liberation Army Navy, for example, in the Indo-Pacific, and will do so. But it's also getting ready to reinforce its land and air force capabilities to move up into Central Asia and challenge the Chinese borders, both to the south and to the west. And so that's really the case. But there's no question that this new alliance recognizes that India has its own game to play, and that this doesn't necessarily look after the interests of the United States, Britain, or Australia. So whilst the Quad remains important to all of the participants and to the United Kingdom, it's not, it doesn't serve everything that Britain, US, and Australia wanted to achieve.
Japan, the fourth member of the Quad, Japan has spoken forcefully these last weeks about the threat to Taiwan by the People's Republic of China. Most recently, there was an incident of the Chinese Navy passing a submarine and a destroyer through a zone where the Japanese were not accustomed to the Chinese using it, and there was alarm in Tokyo. What does this new alliance mean for Japan?
Well, there's no question that Japan is already engaged with the AUKUS alliance. It was very much engaged with the Quad, with the US and Australia as well. And independently of that, and before the Quad came up, Australia and Japan were increasing their intelligence exchanges, their military exchanges, their ability to exercise their defense forces together. So all of that has been underway for some time. Japan, too, is actually looking at in a slightly more independent fashion at managing the PRC threat at a tactical level. Apart from the warship incursion into Japanese waters recently, we saw just in the past couple of days Chinese Coast Guard vessels ramming a Japanese Coast Guard vessel. So what we see is Xi Jinping escalating this belligerence and bullying, but again at the wolf warrior diplomacy level, with a little more visual muscle, if you like. But he doesn't want to push it any further than that. Japan has been refining and mobilizing its defense forces specifically to challenge the PRC and its maritime air power capabilities, its land-based air power capabilities, its missile. All of that has been really escalating dramatically in recent years, and Japan is coordinating this with the Australians. Now, you have to assume that the whole question of the Australia-UK-US alliance was raised during the recent visit to Japan of the HMS Queen Elizabeth aircraft carrier battle group. This is all part of a coordinated fashion. I say that, but it's also worth mentioning that the final coming together, if you like, of the AUKUS alliance in a visible format was very hasty. It's very incomplete. They have not yet formulated what it all means, other than Australia is opening up its capabilities to initially to technology from the US and UK and vice versa, because Australia has developed massive world-grade quantities of military technology on its own. But this also brings in this whole question of submarine deployments into Australia and possibly closer cooperation between Australian naval forces and US and UK carrier groups, because the one thing that Australia lacks is really long-range naval-based air power.
Gregory, this is mission to contain the aggression of China. Is Canada to be invited? Where is Canada?
Well, Canada, of course, is part of the other bloc, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, UK, CANZUC, this alliance of true British countries, if you like, the four British countries around the world. And the fact that the AUKUS alliance was announced within days of the new Canadian elections is actually significant, and the opposition in Canada have welcomed the AUKUS arrangement because it shows that this new capability is emerging and that Canada should be part of it. And moreover, that the Prime Minister Trudeau's government would not easily become part of it.
My concern is that what we're doing is rearranging the map for the English-speaking democracies. That's what my concern is. And we've already noted New Zealand as an outlier. Is it important that Canada participate, Gregory?
It is important that Canada participate, and it's important that New Zealand participates too, because although Canada and New Zealand have made themselves outliers in this process by becoming woke nations and massively supportive of Beijing in recent years, the reality is that that's a short-term situation. They will have to reverse that. And in any event, as the People's Republic of China collapses economically over the next 1, 2, 3 years, what we'll see is that New Zealand and Canada will start to come back, if you like, into the mainstream and won't depend so much on Beijing.
I mentioned that the Chinese reaction is harsh, unhappy. Also, I think the threat is aimed at Australia, the first to die, some language like that. This is in the popular Chinese Communist press. But the puzzle here is Scott Morrison has immediately offered talks with China. I don't know that China will take it up, but is China at this point genuinely threatened, or did they expect this, Gregory? Does this look like they're surprised?
Well, they're probably surprised by the visuals of this announcement, but the reality is that it's quite meaningless in their terms, because what Xi Jinping is doing now is trying to manage that strategic withdrawal, the return of China to a Maoist internal circulation economy, one which once again shuts its borders on the world. That's what we're likely to see over the next few years. So whatever Australia, U.S., UK do is almost secondary, because they know that they're not going to be worrying about that within the short term.
Well, are they contained more today than they were yesterday, or is this all on paper now and we need to see the details? We have about a minute.
Yes, they are more contained in that the anti-PRC coalition is now gaining greater strength, greater coherence, greater capability. It's committing more of its budget to defense against the PRC, and it's building technologies which will ultimately contain the PRC, whether or not it goes into economic collapse or not. So basically, yes, it's very effective.
I note just in a detail, a German warship has been turned away from a port call in a Chinese port. At the same time, the French have sortied into the Eastern Pacific, East Asia. Are France and Germany invited into an alliance like this? We have 30 seconds.
The short answer is no. France is actually very peeved with Australia for excluding it from a strategic alliance, but ultimately I think we'll come back into it. Germany is totally domestically preoccupied. Its only concern was to show the People's Republic of China that it was a player, and it hoped actually that this visit of the frigate Bayern would have actually built a stronger relationship between Berlin and Beijing. The reality is that the PRC doesn't care. It's just dismissed it because, frankly, the PRC has bigger fish to fry, and that is the survival of the Communist Party in a massively and rapidly declining economic situation.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.